An unsolved crime from the 90s resurfaced this week as the result of some reporting done in the LA Times. It's a tale that some believe has been chronicled through rap music. Let's start back with this 1995 track from Notorious B.I.G., which some believe is more than just a fictional tale of hip-hop thuggery.
Who shot ya? Separate the weak from the opsa. Leap hard to creep them Brooklyn streets. It's on. All that bickering beef. I can hear sweat trickling down your cheek. Your heartbeat sound like Sasquatch feet. Thundering, shaking the concrete. Then it stop when I fall the plot. Neighbors call the cops, said they heard mad shots. Saw me in the drop, 3 1/4. Slaughter, electrical tape around the daughter. Old school, new school.
Three attackers shooting somebody up in an ambush. Well, that's what happened to Tupac Shakur outside Quad Recording Studios in New York City back in 1994. Shakur survived that attack. Biggie goes on to rap Bad Boys behind this. Now, whether that refers to the track itself, the attack, or something else entirely, who knows? Although Shakur thought he did know. Until he was murdered in 1996, Tupac Shakur maintained that Sean Puffy Combs, P. Diddy, then the head of Bad Boy Records, was connected with those 94 attacks. Here he is rapping at Puffy saying, "You and I know what's going on."
Puff, let's be honest, you a punk or you would see me with gloves. Remember that you said the vibe about me being a thug? Then you can tell the people you roll with whatever you want. But you and I know what's going on. Payback.
Yesterday, the Los Angeles Times published a web exclusive. Reporter Chuck Phillips wrote a piece that may support Shakur's theory, although Combs denies it. More on that in a moment. But first, Chuck Phillips is up ridiculously early on the West Coast to tell us all about it. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's start with the beginning. Two of the guys who are allegedly responsible for setting up this 94 attack on Tupac Shakur, James Rosamond and James Sabatino. Now, what was their relationship to Sean Combs, to P. Diddy?
They were, at the time, you have to remember, Bad Boy in 1993 and 94 was just starting out. In 94, they just put out their first records by a guy named Craig Mack and Biggie. They just came out just before this happened. And these guys, Jimmy Henchman was James Rosamond's name at that time. He went by that moniker. And Jimmy Sabatino, they were guys that were in a kind of, in the Brooklyn, criminal underground. And they were moving into the rap world, as were a lot of people at that time. You know, out here we had Suge Knight and a lot of different people from the Blood Gang. And the Crips gang and all those people were trying to be involved in making music. So at that time, Jimmy Sabatino was pretty much a guy from the streets who was trying to start a promotion company, and so was Jimmy Henchman. The two of them put together at that time a show called a convention that used to be out called How Do I Be Down, and it was like the main rap convention. So they were kind of just trying to break into being legitimate people. They weren't employed by Bad Boy, but they hung around with those guys. And
because the association would be good for them, is starting up.
Absolutely. It would be very good for them. And at the time, they were part of a group of kind of hip thugs that were in that area, and they all hung out together. And you got to remember, Bad Boy really wasn't much of a company then. Right. It was just getting on his feet.
Now, Rosamond and Sabatino, are they the men that are believed to be allegedly involved in the attack in 94 outside of Quad Studios, the one where Tupac Shakur was shot 5 times?
They were orchestrated. There's 3 different guys that actually did it. I don't name who they are because they've never been arrested. I was in contact with the individuals. Some people I know in New York, when I was working on a different story, kind of brought 2 names up, street names, and I kind of tracked them down. And through them, I got to a number of other people who were in the studio that night. Mm. And then I also got to some people I believe helped orchestrate it. So they were not directly responsible. They didn't do the shooting or the pounding, but they got hired the guys that did. And so, there was not supposed to be, at the time, they were going to, supposed to get a beating.
Right, it was like a fake robbery. They were going to try to take Tupac.
Fake a robbery, and they were going to pistol whip him and, you know, really hurt him severely in a beating, but no one was supposed to shoot any weapon. The problem was that Tupac had a gun on him. He pulled his gun out. He accidentally shot himself in the groin right away, and then gunfire erupted, and they shot him, I believe, 4 times, or at least that's what I was told, twice in the head.
And that's because Tupac had been not as excited about possibly working with Bad Boy Records and Combs as perhaps Combs and his people thought Tupac should have been.
Exactly. Well, that's what the people told me. And you have to remember at that point, even on that night, Biggie and Tupac were friends. Hmm. They were not enemies at all. They were aspiring stars, and Tupac was on his way. He'd already released an album, and I was almost done with the second album. He had been in a couple movies, so he was the bigger star. At that point, only, you know, the people around Bad Boy's inner circle knew who Biggie was, and the record had just come out a couple months before his first debut. So they were really good buddies at that point. Tupac invited him on stage sometimes at his concerts. He let him sleep at his house, and in fact, he kind of taught him a lot about the rap game. So he would never have, I don't believe at that moment, intentionally harmed Tupac. And I don't believe, the other thing that I want to make clear here is that Combs did not order this thing. He was just told about it in advance. He didn't have anything to do with it, except that he knew it was going to happen.
How did the information come to you that Combs and Biggie knew this attack was planned before it happened?
Well, like I said, I have talked to people that I believe were involved in the orchestration of this attack, and I've had contact with the assailants themselves. And I believe that Sabatino himself told Puffy, or Combs, Sean Combs, whatever you call him.
Whatever you call him.
I name every couple of weeks.
Hard to figure that one out sometimes. Hey, Chuck, we're going to ask you to hang on the line for about 2 minutes. We're coming up against a hard break, but I do have a couple more questions about your story, if you wouldn't mind sticking around.
Sure thing.
All right, we're talking to Chuck Phillips of the L.A. Times, a reporter who has some new information into that 94 shooting of rapper Tupac Shakur. Chuck's going to stay on the line with us. We also have the most coming up after the break, as well as green fatigue. Does all this eco-enviro, eco-green stuff, is it wearing you down? We'll explain why. Stay with us here at the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Thanks for listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're going to continue our conversation with Chuck Phillips from the LA Times, who has written a piece that may support the theory of Tupac Shakur that Sean, P. Diddy Combs, knew about the attack on him outside of the Quad Studios where Shakur was shot ultimately 4 or 5 times. Now, Chuck, as you know, Sean Combs has remade himself into sort of a cashmere-wearing, Hamptons party-throwing businessman, and he vehemently denies this claim. His statement he put out to the press that the story is a lie. It is beyond ridiculous and completely false. Neither the late rapper Notorious B.I.G. nor I had any knowledge of any attack before, during, or after it has happened. I'm shocked the LA Times would be so irresponsible as to publish such a baseless and completely untrue story. Your response?
I would tend to disagree with him. I think that Mr. Combs had the opportunity to talk to me twice before this story ran. I have talked to him in the past a number of times, and I stand by my story.
James Rosamond also says that he questions your chops on this story, basically saying that you've gotten some facts wrong in the past. Do you care to respond to that?
Yeah, I would. If you were to look at what he says in his statement, he says that I wrote a story 6 years ago about Tupac shooting in Las Vegas. He claims that the reason I got that story wrong was that Biggie had gotten an accident and couldn't have been there. Biggie didn't get in the accident until 2 weeks later. So the facts he uses to say that I was wrong, he's wrong about that. But you also have to, in the story that we wrote, what Mr. Rosamond's lawyer said, which is almost identical to his statement to the press.
So for someone who's listened to all of this and is trying to figure out what actually happened here, can you explain why this event, this shooting, was seminal in the East Coast-West Coast feud that ultimately turned very violent and likely led to the death of two talented men, Tupac Shakur and Notorious B.I.G.?
Well, you know, I started off writing these stories because I was a music business writer. Mm-hmm. You know, I wrote about the business, and then gradually, little by little, when gangster rap came in the early 90s, I'm a giant fan of black music. I love, you know, almost all my record collection is black. gospel music, rap music, jazz music. And so I was immediately entranced by gangster rap, especially Dr. Dre at that time. The bass lines were great. Everything was great. So I kind of got involved. I started looking at these things out of almost as a fan of the music more than as a reporter. And then little by little, it just became more interesting to me. And as the years have gone on, you know, I write lots of different stories. I've written about all kinds of things. But this particular, the unsolved nature of these killings and the that is puzzling and troubling to me, that the government hasn't figured out who killed these two very talented men and others in the line of this. The other thing that kind of draws me to it that I'm curious about is this period in history. I don't think there's ever been a period in history where popular American artists competed on record and in interviews and ultimately, you know,
and took it to the street. Took it to real life.
Yeah.
LA Times reporter Chuck Phillips wrote about the 1994 attack on Tupac Shakur. Thanks for sharing your reporting, Chuck.
Thank you.